All right, everyone, welcome back to the Chris the Freelancer podcast. Today's episode, we're going to focus predominantly on Portugal and Lisbon. As you might know, Lisbon has a lot of hype in the digital nomad community. It's number two now on Nomad List. And to help me out today, I've got a few friends. I've got Iban. How do you pronounce your last name for the people out there?
Kramer.
Iban Kramer, and of course, Sergio Sala, who you may have seen before. So Iban's been living here since January.
Yeah.
And Sergio just arrived, but he's been here before and he's going to be staying a month and making a video on Lisbon, right?
Yeah, exactly. A video about Lisbon for digital nomads.
Perfect. Yeah, so I thought I would bring in a few other people because with this trip for me in Lisbon, I arrived really late. The next day I drove off and I've been traveling with a few people, not very digital nomad style, just like a normal kind of trip, with some other people that I know, they're Europeans and, they travel all around Europe. And so they had a, Portugal trip planned and I just jumped on board. So we did 4 days in the Algarve and then I came back to Lisbon a few days ago and I'm trying to get as much of a lay of the land of an experience in Lisbon as possible, so that I can figure out, is this a place I want to come back and explore more of? But yeah, I'm just putting that out there at the start of this podcast. I haven't spent that long here. So this is kind of going to be like a first impressions sort of podcast. But at the same time, we've got Iban's perspective, who's been here a while. So I thought I'd start right at the beginning and talk about getting in. And the one thing that surprised me about coming into Portugal is unless it was done behind the scenes, nobody checked my vaccination records. I didn't have to do a negative test for COVID. This is for COVID specifically. And yeah, it was just basically like went into the Schengen sort of immigration desk for entering the Schengen zone. I did this in Paris and very quick and easy, no sign of COVID stuff at all. And then I got to Lisbon Airport and one of the sights that I was happy to see was masks are recommended in Lisbon Airport, not compulsory. So I took that thing off straight away and I was like, ah, it's good to be able to breathe. You arrived, Sergio, a few days ago. I guess your experience was pretty much the same, right?
Yeah. First I want to ask you from where do you
fly? Oh, so I came from Bangkok to Lisbon, stopping with the stopover in Paris. So my entry into Europe was Paris and then I was only there for a few hours before the next flight.
Yeah, because my case is that I came from Spain, but I flew from Mexico to Spain and there they asked me for all the vaccination, had to show like the ones that I have from the States. I created like a whole app that they're telling you that I can go through the Schengens. And also for people that might not know, Schengen is only a few countries in Europe, it's not Europe. And yeah. It's not the whole Europe.
Most of Europe, though.
It's a lot of them, but not except, everybody
except,
knows.
Except Serbia and I think yeah. Croatia now. I'm not sure, like most of Europe. I think it's kind of like the same.
So I was in Tenerife and I flew directly to here to Lisbon. And I was hearing the same. I've been traveling for the last 2 years after COVID and I really wanted a plane without mask. Yeah. But I flew with TAP and they asked me for the mask. So I had to use it like, no, next time. But as soon as I arrived, I used it on the metro because I took the metro to get downtown. And after that, I just took it off, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to have a part about masks in this podcast, so I might as well get into it now. One thing I've really enjoyed about Portugal is, especially in the Algarve, there's no sign of masks. The Algarve, for those who don't know, is like the southern area of Portugal where they have all these beautiful beaches with rock faces and it's pretty nice. It's worth a visit. Not the best digital nomad scene down there as far as I know. Lagos had some cool cafes with fast internet, but is it Lagos or Lagos?
Lagos.
Lagos. I've been told off for pronouncing it like that. Lagos. If you were considering going down there for like digital nomad lifestyle, I'll probably choose that city. But otherwise, of course, Lisbon is the hot spot, the city with all the hype in Portugal for that scene. And yeah, coming back to Lisbon after being in the Algarve for 4 days, I noticed, oh shit, we're back in masks territory. But that being said, you don't have to wear it walking around the street. We went to the mall just before and we didn't have to wear one. It's basically just public transport and Ubers. So like you said, taking the metro, you had to wear one. The only time I haven't taken the metro or the tram. So the only time I've been asked to wear one on this trip has been in an Uber, but there was three of us in an Uber and I was sitting next to the driver and he was like, can you put on a mask please? And I was like, yeah, sure, put on a mask. So I'm not sure if it's because there was so many of us in the Uber and if there was just one person sitting in the back, they'd be cool with it. But yeah, masks, and that is basically the only COVID related restriction or thing I've seen in Lisbon and Portugal.
Well, Ivan is the one who's been already, what, five months? Yeah, first, tell us the story. What's going on with you?
About what?
About living
about
in
the
Portugal.
The COVID restrictions in Portugal.
The COVID restrictions. So when I got here, it was January and it was winter. So I remember there were a lot of restrictions. Like when I went to the IKEA and I had to go all the time to the IKEA to buy the furniture. Like if I wanted to go to the restaurant, I had to show like the vaccination thing, you know, certificate. And I remember that I used to use it all over the place. Even though I had COVID, like on December, like between Christmas and New Year's Eve, I had COVID. So like my defenses were pretty high, but still I had to use it and I wanted to use it. But I mean, I just use it everywhere, you know. Since it was winter, it was okay because, you know, it was kind of like a good protection. I even used it in the gym. Like most people didn't use it, but I just used it because I got sick in the gym in Argentina. So I wanted to use, like, I got like, you know, if I go to the gym, I'm going to do it right. But then I got the vaccine, like the third vaccine, like a few weeks ago. And then I stopped using it. And most people don't use it anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is more out of choice.
Yeah.
The mask.
Like today, when we were in the shopping mall, I put it on just in case, you know. But yeah, it was kind of pointless. But I don't know. I just feel like, yeah.
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, I don't want to get political on this podcast, but I'm not a fan of forcing people to wear masks. But if somebody wants to wear a mask, I'm totally for that.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's basically it for the COVID stuff. It's becoming less and less relevant, like in all countries, I think, as time goes on, which is really good to see. In Thailand, if you didn't listen to the last podcast episode, it was the same thing with masks. The same thing with COVID. It was basically the only restriction was masks. Apart from entering I got a massage and I had to do an ATK, a rapid antigen test, to get a massage in Thailand.
Why massage?
Because the person was touching my skin, I guess. It's kind of intimate,
but like,
bro.
but COVID is not like, oh, I just touched you and now I have COVID. It's like, you know, if it was something like you were going to the doctor maybe, but even still, like having an antigen test is kind of extreme. It's just like,
Yeah, but there's a lot of like those sort of quirks in Thailand. But yeah, that's Thailand. I want to keep to the topic of Portugal in this podcast. So where should we start with Lisbon? I guess for me, this place is very hyped. It's, as I said at the beginning, it's just checking Nomad List now. It's number two on my Nomad List when I come up, nomadlist.com.
I see that it's the first one is right now is the Canary Islands, then Lisbon, then Budapest. Honestly, I've been to the three places and I liked Las Palmas when I was there. I was that's where I met you and that's where
that's where we all met.
Exactly. I actually met him in Lisbon before that. But we were not that big. I mean, we got along well, but we're not friends when we were in Canary Islands. Yeah, like the cruise was probably the thing where we all became more friends. But actually, I think Lisbon is better than Canary Islands in the sense that it's better connected. You have more things to do. I mean, I don't know what is based the ranking, but I think In my opinion, Lisbon is better than the Canary Islands. Now, Budapest, I don't know. I didn't like it too much, but maybe it's good, or maybe Barcelona, for example. Like I told you, Barcelona is similar to Lisbon. Yeah, it's the only issue is it's more expensive, but I think for nomads, I think Barcelona, Lisbon, and maybe Budapest or Prague, or even Berlin are really good. Whereas Canary Islands is more like, yeah, you go there, I mean, you spend a month there, so you can, you know, more than I do.
So coincidentally, Sergio spent the last month in Gran Canaria, which is the number one spot on Nomad List currently. And we were kind of comparing the two cities before, because I've spent a month in Gran Canaria as well. That was 5 years ago though. So, I mean, Sergio, you've been to Lisbon before, and then you obviously spent a month most recently in Gran Canaria. How would you kind of compare the two? And
To be honest, I can't compare right now. First thing, you're saying it wrong. You're saying the whole Canary Islands. There are 8 Canary Islands. You gotta say Gran Canaria, that it has the Las Palmas. Just saying for the people who are listening to this. Second, I was in Gran Canaria and Tenerife, so I got two of the main islands. So they're way different to each other. And third, I was here 5 years ago, so it was before COVID, and I only been here only 2 days in Lisbon, so I can't compare that much as of now. But what I got instantly is that it definitely feels different, that here's more like a city, big city vibe. And at least in Las Palmas, let's talk Las Palmas, it has the beachfront and it's just more of people are excited to just go to the beach. It's a mix of beach and city, where in Lisbon, as of now, there's not much of a beach.
No, this actually is just like a few 20 minutes from here.
No, but you don't get a beach vibe in the city.
That's what I'm trying to say, you know?
I remember that now. That's like, you know, if you had sand on your shorts, like that would be normal in Las Palmas, right?
Exactly. And here you're more like pants and...
Definitely. And then for me too, like I understand why those two and the top two on Nomad List right now. I think I said this before, but Gran Canaria, even though it's not kind of, it's technically not even Europe. It's technically Europe, but it's not in Europe.
Yeah, like the place is in Africa. Like it's part of Spain, but it's part like the continent of Africa.
But it was my favorite European, in quote unquote, location, like digital nomad destination. But I feel like Lisbon, like if I did spend some time here, that it could overtake it. And yeah, like you said, it's more of a, it feels like more of a city. It feels more popular. It feels like the more connected to Europe, because obviously geography wise it's in Europe.
Lisbon, the thing is, Lisbon as a city itself is not that big. It's just very dense maybe, but it's not that big like compared to Barcelona, for example. It's not that big. It's not like 5 million people. I think it's like 2 million or 2.5 maybe. But that's like the entire like the metropolitan area. But like the city of Lisbon is not that big, so even if it's like it feels like a big city, it's not so much like when I was in Barcelona, which you actually feel like it's like a more like an economic center of like even Europe, like an industrial part. Lisbon is not so much. It's just like a touristic destination, but it's not like a financial center. It's not so much of an industrial center. It's not like people like from Europe come here to do business so much. They do, but not so much. They do come here for the some conferences and stuff, like, you know, the Web Summit, and there are a lot of meetups and conferences here, but it's not like the same feeling like Barcelona, like even like Berlin, you know? So it doesn't feel so like, you know, so hectic, Lisbon. Even like when you go to the subway, it doesn't feel the same feeling like in like I have in Barcelona. So it's not so extreme as a city. So it's okay. It's a city, it's big, but
I feel like if it's a commerce capital, to me it's not ever gonna be like a digital nomad destination, because like if you wanted to be in a place that's like an economic hub where you can make money directly from the local economy, you might as well just work and do business in that city, right? And then at that point, are you really a digital nomad, you know? You're just working and doing business in that city. So Lisbon is small enough that it feels like a city with everything you need, but not like a major world city where it's hard for like nomads to connect and go to cafes and stuff. We've been talking kind of broadly about like our feelings towards Lisbon, but I think we should get into some specifics here. I've made like a list of like sort of pros and cons, at least in my own opinion. I think the things that make, just to get into some of the pros here, I think some of the things that make Lisbon like really cool and like contribute to Lisbon being such a popular digital nomad destination is, you know, you've got the basically the cafe scene is crazy. Like you've got so many cool, trendy cafes that serve excellent brunch and have good coffee, and the Wi-Fi is generally pretty good. Like you can go to any of these cafes and set up your computer, which you'll inevitably see at all these, pretty much all these cafes has got somebody with their computer. But one of the things we were talking about before, which I guess is a con, is they're so small, these cafes, and they get really busy. So like some, if you're not there early, you might not even get a spot at these. So there's so many of them. Food's great. Coffee's great. It's trendy. It's cool. But
like five,
can you
tables
actually get into it?
Has like five tables and something like that. To be honest, I like going to coffee shops and work. I used to, but like in here, I don't do it because I didn't find that many places. And usually when I go, you have to either go super early, kind of like at 9 or 10, kind of like you're going to the co-working space almost.
Which is considered super early in this part of
no,
the world.
No, like, no,
yeah,
like,
to me, that sounds late.
Yeah, no, me too. But like I used to go sometimes. I was just walking. It's like, I don't know, 10, 11, you know, I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here and work. It's hard to do it here. Like, first, you have to walk up and down a lot. So that, oh, I'm just going to go 5 blocks, but you have to go up. You have to really plan those things. But also, I found that it's not easy because you go to the place and it's really small. It's packed. You have to, like today, we were looking for a place. To be honest, I don't go out to coffee shops almost ever anymore, because it's really, really annoying. Like you spend more time looking for a place than actually sitting and working. And then you sit in this kind of, you know, tiny place. It doesn't feel comfortable. So to be honest, I don't really like so much working on coffee shops. I just go to the co-working space that I found, which is kind of like a coffee shop in a sense, because it's kind of like a
flex. Oh, which one is
it's
it?
It's Idea Spaces Saldaña.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's kind of like not in the center part, like the touristic part, but it's still the center.
And that's like the kind of place where you pay a membership per month to access?
I just pay per day because I don't go like, I made the math. And if I go up to 8 times, it's the same if I pay daily passes. Whereas if I want to go more than 8 times a month, then it makes sense to pay the monthly pass.
Okay, so you're not there full time.
No. I just, when I go, I actually spend the whole day. I just go from like 9 a.m. until 5, 6, and then I go to the gym and all of that.
Yeah. So what I'm getting these days is that the coffee shops are a little bit small to actually be there and sitting down. Because I like to go to a coffee shop and spend 3 hours or more, of course, paying my food and serving the coffee. Shop, but here, as they're so crowded, it's more of a co-working thing, no? Instead of coffee shops. That's what I'm getting.
No. What I'm saying is that the places are really, really small, and to me, it doesn't make me want to work there because it's really tiny, and like some cases, for example, they don't have good chairs. They have like stools,
no,
for
that's,
example.
That's why people go to co-works.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the value, I guess, of getting a co-working membership in Lisbon. We actually did a little, I guess, digital nomad tour today. We went to, there's a couple of chains that you guys might be familiar with. One is Outsite and one is Selena. They're both co-living sort of chains that Outsite, I think, are mainly US, Europe, but I mean, both of them are worldwide. Selena's mainly Latin America, right? I know Sergio's been to over 25,
yeah,
Salinas.
Yeah,
and so like those two locations both have a co-working cafe sort of thing that you can use if you're not staying with them. You can still pay to use. So we went to Outsite co-work cafe today, and for a day it's pretty expensive because you get the same experience as a cafe, but yeah, that the cafe is built for co-working, so it's kind of a weird hybrid. And we paid 17 euro for the 1 day. I think that's probably too much if you're just going to do it for the 1 day, but if you're going to do it for like a month or whatever. And then you've got the Salina Secret Garden, which we also checked out, and that was 12 euros a day. But that was quite crowded when we got to it as well. So again, the issue with these digital nomad sort of co-working cafe places is that they have the same problem as the cafes, whereas it's just crowded. And are you going to feel comfortable? Like, even like, I had my backpack on and we went into the Salina co-work, and I was like, how can I position myself even just standing there with a backpack so that I'm not blocking the door and all this kind of stuff? It's in the center of Lisbon in general. Like, it's not just the co-working, it's not just the cafes. Everything is pretty tight.
The restaurant last night, everything just looks small. You went to the bathroom, no?
The
bathroom door just fell. You just like, you have to be like, crouching, it was just really, really.
I went to this bathroom at this restaurant. They had a makeshift door and that's not part of the tightness, but like, I went in there and it's like,
you have to be crouching. Yeah.
So space is an issue in Lisbon, that's for sure. I don't even have that on my list of cons, but that is a con.
Yeah, Salina, I like the fact that it looked more like a co-working space because you have like chairs, like actual, ergonomical chairs. Yeah. And it's way cheaper. I didn't even find it so small. I mean, and the woman said that it was pretty packed that day, today. But the other one outside, not only was more expensive, but also it looked like a coffee shop, not like a real co-working space properly. So to pay for like a coffee shop, and you don't get the coffee, even you have to pay for the coffee.
Oh, no, you get one free coffee outside for the 17 euros.
Wow, nice. To be honest, like, it's like 5 euros like for the coffee, because the other one is 12 and you don't get maybe the coffee, but it's like actual like ergonomical chairs.
You can use the $5 for your coffee budget, 5 euros for your coffee budget.
To be honest, I think like the Salina looked a bit better as a co-working space. Maybe outside is cool, but like, I wouldn't pay 17 euros for like, I would go for maybe 2-3 hours and not spend like a whole day there.
Definitely. So I took the picture of the membership of outside, and for a month it's 150 euros. And if you divide it by 30, that's like 5 euros per day.
No, but you don't go every day. You go like...
I always divide by 20
because actually it's the business day.
Here's the thing. I don't even know if outside work cafe is open on Sundays or Saturdays.
Okay, let's do... 20. Yeah, 20. 20. Let's do 20. So that's like, seven and a half.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't even know if that's cheap or expensive, okay, because I'm not used to European.
No, like, I can tell you.
European co-working
space. I can tell you, I've been researching, and the one that I go to, I think it's 150 for a flex desk. Hidden, which is like more like upscale, it's like 250, I think, which is much more upscale. Like, the places are huge. There's actually like one next to the river. It's super, I've seen pictures, but it's super new. Like, it opened like 3 months ago, and I've heard it's super modern, but it's expensive. But then the other ones that I've been to, like Idea Spaces, is 150. Avila Spaces, I think, is 150, and it's not worth it at all because it looks like a coffee, like the airport lounges. Yeah. It looks like that. It's like super. It doesn't look like a coffee. It's not like a coffee shop nor a co-working space. It's just like a lounge. It's just not a good place to work, to be honest. I've been to a few others, but they are more like boutique places, kind of like makeshift. It depends on the vibes of the place and the location. But the one that I like the most, 150 euros, to me, it's worth it. And outside, it's pretty average.
I want to keep this moving because we've got a bit to cover. Speaking of co-working spaces and cafes, I wanted to briefly touch on the digital nomad community. I really can't comment being here only a few days, but you've tried to connect with the community here. And there's like, they have a weekly meetup on Thursdays, right?
Here's the thing. I spent 5 months here. I was in a WhatsApp group that somebody told me to go to, and it was like worthless. Like nothing happened there. It's like it's like pointless to be in that group. It's like this is like a really shitty community. Nothing happened. I was like, it was like weird because I knew that it was a big community here.
Yeah.
But then like a month ago, somebody told me, no, you have to go to Meetup and they have a Slack chat. The Slack chat is a bit better than the WhatsApp group, but meetup.com, you know, the app, that's where all of the events happen. And every Thursday at 7, they have a different place, like rooftop bars, whatever. You know, when we were coming here with the scooters, there actually was a meetup there, like very close. We actually passed through like some bars near the river. Uh-huh. The first Thursday I went to was there, so it was open air near the river. Last week was in a rooftop bar in like in the party area, and it was like packed, like 150 people, 200, and
it, wait, 500?
No, 150 to 200 people. Okay. Okay. And like usually see the same people over and over, so you get
that's
to know
so pretty. That's still pretty a lot of people for a digital nomad meetup.
Yeah, and there are not
no, it's sorry.
No, I was just gonna say that there are not all of them are nomads like me, you know. So there are people who are maybe doing cool stuff. It's really cool, you know, to meet people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can say a lot of things about that too, because I met them 5 years ago when the first time I was here, and I just love to see the growth. So I mean, like, shout out to those people if they see it, Rosanna Lopez, Ash, all these people. Like, they had the idea of bringing people together in Lisbon 5 years ago, and I just see them grow. I don't talk to them that often, but when I, hey, how's it going, they're saying more and more people are coming now, 200. Which also is an interesting thing. In Las Palmas, Gran Canaria, we also did one event, 200 people in a rooftop. That was amazing. And that's another community. But it's nice to see that Lisbon has it. So I'm excited, looking forward to go to all those meetups. Today, there's a Nomad Talk.
Yeah.
They have the Mondays. They have like hiking. It's not hiking, running.
Yeah, you have
Tuesdays.
You have Tuesdays. I think they have like the 7.5 and 10 kilometer runs. So like you just run with people and then, I don't know, hang out. Then I think twice a week, I'm not sure. Then on Wednesdays is board game night, which is really fun. I went to once only, but it seemed like a lot of fun. I think I'm gonna go this week. Thursdays the meetups, and then you just have like events, like, you know, like talk maybe. There are also like groups, like I think one is called Lisbon Adventure in Meetup, which is the one that I used to go to, like a castle in the north of Lisbon, like outside Lisbon. And I just met like 10 people. It was super fun. So even like some of them were nomads. But it wasn't on the Nomads group, but it was still like in the meetup, and you get to see people, and then you see them in the meetups of the Nomads. So it's like, you know, in meetup.com is where I think where all of the events are broadcasted and where you have to go to actually sign up and go
to.
Yeah,
so the main community is that one that you go through meetup.com. They have the Slack channel. But I also want to talk a little bit about Nomad List, that they do meetups. They have their own versions of meetups. And I haven't been to one, I'm gonna go, but I've seen also like maybe 30, 40 people in one meetup. So basically there's a lot of nomads in Lisbon these days.
There's a lot of nomads, but I guess the scene to me is a very different group of people than I guess what I'm used to in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And I'll say one thing, like, I don't know if this is a con or not. It really depends on what kind of person you are. And hopefully this doesn't come across sounding judgmental or anything, but like the people that I haven't been to any of these meetups, but just in general that I've seen, I feel like Lisbon has a hipster sort of vibe. Like it's kind of like, it's not Milano, it's not high fashion. It's not, like, wearing shorts all the time,
like spiritual in Bali,
in Thailand, where you just dress like shit because nobody cares, or like Bali with a spiritual, like the islands, like a spiritual vibe. It's kind of like hipster European sort of feel. That's
hipster.
Kind of what I'm getting.
No, I find it's just like
here.
There are a lot of Europeans here, so I think it would be more hipster. I think if we had more Americans, but there are a lot of like Germans, Dutch, British. And I wouldn't consider them.
Germans are hipsters.
Yeah, but no, the ones. but the ones that I've seen.
Some of the biggest hipsters.
There were a few, but I didn't feel like most of those people were like hipsters. Like most of the people there were either like developers, like the typical nomad people, the typical nomad worker, like either marketers like me, designers, developers, or maybe something like with crypto investments now, you know, but like compared to Bali, for example, there are no, I haven't met any like, you know, life coaches and like yoga teachers, although I know there are a few I've heard, but it's not like, it's like very balanced group of people, you know, and
I mean, is on that life coach thing, we spoke to one person who was on their computer in, I think it was Faro in, Faro in the Algarve. And then she was a life coach. So like they do exist in Portugal. But I guess the something that I would consider a con in terms of people is there's just so many tourists in the center of Lisbon. It is tourism central. When I travel, I like to have a local experience. Even if I'm not staying for a very long time, I much more value seeing how normal people live and experiencing the real culture of a place. And I guess I'm not used to it because I'm not that experienced with traveling in Europe. But the center of Lisbon is just tourists everywhere. All of the most of the restaurants seem like they're touristy restaurants. You hear different accents everywhere, so you can tell that or different languages, so you can tell that they're not pure it's not Portuguese people. Like I hear American accents everywhere and stuff like that. And that is a con for me, because if I'm here, I wanna experience real Portuguese culture and meet real Portuguese people.
You have to stay in this neighborhood. I mean, there are a lot of expats, but it's not touristic at all here, so. Like if you go more
you mean in this specific area? Yeah, can you tell this podcast?
Yeah, can you tell the audience where are we and what?
Yeah,
is
yeah. yeah, yeah.
Just some context.
I was just gonna follow with that. This particular neighborhood is São Vicente, which is near the Panthéon, which is like a kind of popular touristic spot. Then it's Graça next to it. It's next to Alfama, which is like super touristy. It's like where you have the castle, the Fado Museum, like lots of tourists. But the Alfama is more like a really old place, kind of like, narrow streets where we were walking in last night.
I just want to say that's where I stayed 5 years ago, and I loved it. It was just
it's beautiful.
Don't get me wrong. All of these places that tourists are flooding are beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's
flooding. Like Chiado Baixa and Barrio Alto are like, Chiado Baixa is very commercial and very touristic, so I wouldn't stay there. Barrio Alto is more like for parties and students. I liked it a lot when I stayed there. Yeah. I don't know if I would live there for that reason.
And that's funny because that's where I'm moving in.
Yeah. I mean, no, I love it. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. But for a month
to be near the action.
That's fine. That's fine. I think Graça or maybe Saldanha, which Saldanha is above like the center, like the city center. So Saldanha, Misericordia, Santa Cruz, a few other places, more like in the center north of the city, or maybe Campo de Urique. Those places are like more authentic. I mean, they're still beautiful and very central, but they are not so touristic, and they are more like business oriented or just simply residential. So I like those places a bit more. Or maybe like if you want to be closer to the beach, you have to be closer to Belém, where you have like the Tower of Belém, and Belém is pronounced Belém, is written like V-E-L-E-M. So Belém in Spanish would be said. So like near the coast, like going to like the west part, you know, so like the center, then you have the train station, and then going to that part, Alcantara, that region, that's probably closer to the beach and more upscale
Is it just a matter of like the center of Lisbon is like super touristic, and as you go further out, it gets less touristic, basically?
Yes. Yeah. Although like, again, like Alcantara is very upscale, residential, but there are tourists and lots of students, I know, but it's still nice. Like it's a bit more authentic. Now, if you really want like the neighborhood authentic, you have to go like more up to the...
Yeah,
like,
that happens in a lot of the cities around the world, you know. All the crowds go in the center and slowly go far away, and you get more of the
local. Like Benfica, you know, Benfica, you have the Campo Grande, Campo Pequeno. Those places are more like more residential and actual Portuguese people. These parts are like my neighbors are expats. There are this whole building that they're like expats, you know, but there are people who are living here, so it's not the same as like, you know, tourists or nomads or people who stay in a few weeks.
Okay. just wrapping up on pros and cons before we get to the audience questions. Did you guys have any points you wanted to make on that specifically?
Specifically on...
Like anything that you see as like a con for you or a pro. Like, is there anything that... Actually, this is one of the community questions. But one... Actually, we can answer it now. What is like... What sets Lisbon apart? Like, what is particularly good about Lisbon over other destinations, and what's perhaps particularly bad about it?
So, I think... compared to Europe, I think it's cheaper than the other big cities, although I was going to tell you about this. It's not cheap for what I would consider, like the rent here is popularly expensive for the Portuguese, you know? Yeah. But of course, the Portuguese make 1,000 euros, something like that. If you make like 2,000 euros a month or more, it's okay, the rent is fine maybe, but it's a bit expensive for the Portuguese, especially Lisbon in particular. And like the supermarket, to me, I was surprised. I don't eat expensive stuff, you know? I don't buy a lot of like salmon and stuff like that, and I still spend like 350 euros a month on the supermarket. I'm like, eat a lot of fruits, rice, bread, eggs. It's like kind of expensive for what I would expect. I was expecting a bit less, but like still, it's not like with 2,000 euros a month, you can live pretty well. Even if you pay taxes and all of that. So it's you get a lot from the money that you spend in Europe. You have it's not gloomy like the rest of Europe, almost the rest of Europe.
Yeah, I'd say that that's something that we haven't covered yet, is that you mentioned, and I was like, definitely say that on the podcast, because I know a lot of places in Europe are quite gloomy, right? Whereas here, I mean, today the weather's not the best. It's overcast, but so there's some cloud around, but pretty sunny for a lot of the time. And I'm surprised that it's so warm in May. Like,
it was way warmer like a few days ago, actually. It was like 30 degrees. It was like summer almost.
Well, yeah, I was there. I was here. So yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So I for me also, like the reason that I came here, I think the main reason is the community. As I said, like there's a lot of people that I'm really looking forward to see, plus friends and things like that. It's cheap, but like in European standards, let's say it's the place that you spend the less in Europe. Yeah. I'm just also checking some reviews on my computer. But they saying about the Portuguese people are friendly, which I don't know much. I don't know what you can say about that.
They are really open. Like I'm trying to learn Portuguese, and at first I was like kind of like doubting myself when I was speaking. And they were like, oh, let's speak in English. I'm like, no, I can speak Portuguese. Oh, it's okay. So like they want to be helpful to the point where they just like, they don't want to be like trying to speak slowly. It's like, oh, let's just go to English, you know? So it's fine. Like if you don't speak Portuguese, they should speak in English, and they're really helpful.
Yeah, that's one thing. It's like there's no pressure to learn Portuguese here.
Yeah.
Except at one bar, I asked for a mojito with no sugar and she didn't understand me. But but there was another bartender that fixed it straight away. So there's virtually no pressure to learn the Portuguese language here.
So yeah, the food, the beers, $1, something like that. Like I'll make on my video, I'll put the cost of living of Lisbon at the end. Also shout out to that. So we'll see how much I spend at the end. Can we talk about the housing or are we over
that? I think one of the questions from the community was on cost of living. So yeah, maybe we'll just jump straight into that one. Into the what the audience has asked, and then if we have anything else to cover, we can throw that in at the end.
Because I just want to add on that part. Meanwhile, you search the comments. Just for what I've been reading about the housing, like if you get to like for example Nomadlist, the Slack channel, everybody has like, or not even Slack channel, Facebook groups, everybody like, why so expensive? Like why so much for a stay in Lisbon? And also reading this comment here saying that he's seen like the worst price in any place he ever been.
Wow, that's a bit extreme.
What? Has he tried being a digital nomad in the center of London or like that's hectic?
He makes $500 a month, and you know,
I mean I don't wanna like think that everybody thinks like that, but I feel like a lot of people are expecting Thai prices.
Yeah, no. Like that's probably
it's still Europe.
Like. Yeah, it's, I mean, if you want really, really cheap, it's like Belgrade, Sofia, Bulgaria, probably that. Ukraine in the past, unfortunately, is no longer the case, but I've heard that Ukraine was super cheap as well. But like I was in Prague, Budapest, and it wasn't that cheap. It was kind of like this. But like I was explaining you why rent here is so expensive. But it's a long story, doesn't really matter. But Portuguese complain, one of the biggest complaints, especially in Lisbon, not the rest of the country. Like Porto, the second largest city, is not the same.
To me, it kind of makes sense when you look at how many people are walking around the city center and how dense everything is and how everything seems so tight. So I think, yeah, there's not a ton of space, and it's not like they have condo buildings that are 50 floors high, right? Exactly. So like there's a low shortage of space, which means that, and there's a lot of like people wanting short-term accommodation. So it's not going to be cheap in the center.
For nomads,
I wouldn't call it cheap. I mean, more affordable than Europe, than other places in Europe perhaps, but I wouldn't call this place cheap.
Barcelona, it was also very expensive for the rent, I remember. And it's much bigger, it has bigger buildings, and still it wasn't cheap. But and other things were also expensive. But Lisbon, I think you have to go to Facebook groups. I think people say like, I have my room, I want to rent for a month, and then you can get good prices. Airbnb is not so cheap actually, because the government, I actually researched to open my Airbnb, because I was gonna rent another place, and the guy was okay with that. Not everybody's okay, and the government, like, I researched a lot, and it's like parts of the city you cannot have an Airbnb, it's impossible, and then you have to pay taxes and shit like that. So that that creates the costs, that raises the cost for having an Airbnb. So it's not the best for, like, if you want a room for yourself and all of that, that's going to be like over 1,000 euros, almost guaranteed, you know, like a big place, you know, like not like the apartment, just like a room, a nice room in the center, like it's going to be really expensive.
Yeah, I just got my place, a private studio for 1,000 something for the month. So in Barrio Alto. So
Which is a nice place. Yeah, it's hard to get for less than that. But then, like, food, like, buying it in the supermarket is not the cheapest, but then, like, eating out is, like, 10, 15 euros. So, to me, it's kind of expensive sometimes, but I don't care. I mean, sometimes it's fine going once in a while, going...
And I think a lot of the, like, I would suspect that Portugal as a country is quite affordable. But if you have a lot of tourists going after a small amount of space, it's going to raise the prices considerably anywhere, right? And that's, to me... like a very simplified answer of the problem would be, you know, it's just so full of tourists. And this hype that Lisbon gets, the more and more people that, like, the more hyped up it gets and the more people that live here, the more the prices are going to rise.
Yeah, but I think if you go to Porto, for example, the city in the north, which is like the second largest city, is way cheaper, I've heard. I don't know the islands of Azores, which I've heard are beautiful, and Madeira, kind of like, it's kind of like the Canary Islands in a sense. I think the Madeira is kind of, it's close to the Canary Islands, so it's very similar, and the Azores are like in the middle of the ocean.
It's still not close. Madeira is all the way. It's between America.
The Azores. Yeah. One of the two is very close to Canary Islands. The other one is not, but I don't know how. I think it's way cheaper, but I don't know how cheap, because it's an island, they have to import stuff. But the rest of the country is not that expensive. The thing is, Lisbon, especially the center. So if you go out a little bit to the west, even closer to the beaches, or to the north a little bit, you know, it's not going to be that expensive. The rent, I mean.
Perfect. All right. So there was a few people that are asking about cost of living, and one person asked, why are Airbnbs in Lisbon so expensive? I think we've kind of covered that with what we've just said. Okay, so we've got a question here from Brackets, who asks, what's a good area to stay if you have 4 days? So that's interesting. I'm literally here for basically 4 days. I stayed in Barrio Alto. How do you pronounce it properly?
Barrio Alto.
Barrio Alto.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, my Portuguese... and what's the meaning of it? You told me the actual meaning. High neighborhood, literally.
And because it is. Once you go to like the center, you know, the Baixo, the low parts, then you go to the high neighborhood, and yeah.
It's a here. Very literal name for a place, isn't it?
Very appropriate.
And that area was decided by, the people that I'm traveling with, one of the guys has been here before, and he chose the location. It's the kind of bar hopping area, I would say. Like on Saturday night, when we wanted to go out, we just stepped outside our door, walked to the next street over, and the streets were full with people. And I was like, wow, okay, so this is what this area is about. Sergio has booked a whole month in that area as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. The Barrio Alto is like the nightlife scene. I book a place for the whole month starting in 2 days. That's why I'm right now just in a hostel with my single room. But yeah, I heard good things about Barrio Alto, and I would preferably stay again in Alfama if it's only 4 days, because I just enjoy walking in the morning. So quiet and so beautiful.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Alfama's another popular area. But as you mentioned before, it's a bit more like old, but it has a charm to it.
Saldaña, yeah. Santa Cruz is also really good because it's kind of like in between these two neighborhoods. I mean, it's close to these neighborhoods, but it's more residential. But it's also close to like the financial part of the city and like kind of like the shopping part of the city, the Avenida Libertad, which is beautiful as well. So it's also a nice place. It's very central, lots of buses and lots of bars as well, and nice restaurants, like actual restaurants for locals, not just like tourists. So that's those two places are also nice to see.
I just don't... one of the things that I love about Alfama, we were trying to look up yesterday, it was the Fado. Like this kind of like live music thing. We didn't see it yesterday, but I loved it 5 years ago when I went there. And this is like the things that I really enjoyed about Portugal or say Lisbon. Walking around, just seeing the art, the scenery, people like eating outside on the streets, the beautiful music, the fact is just live music, people singing with some guitars. This is what I remember and I wish to get again. But on that topic too, are we covering the thing about the hills, the holes?
We're going to get to the Max Ravensky, okay. Ravensky or however post okay. later. So I'll move on to the next question. Mark Taloff asks, best co-working spaces with a view. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that'd be cool if I could find a co-working space with a view.
The one that we just passed, like that I told you, Hidden has a new co-working space. I don't know if it's in Google Maps yet, okay. Which is next, literally next to the river. In front of the river.
How do you spell that?
H-E-D-E-N. Hidden. It has two, one in Rocio and one in the coast. I don't know, like, I think it's
I don't know if the audience is picking up the airport.
Yeah.
It's not the planes.
Nah, it should be fine.
No, but I'm just trying to mention.
Santa Polonia.
I just want to mention that we're very close to the airport too. So.
No, we're not that close.
I mean, kind of. Yeah,
it looks close, but yeah.
Like close by.
Yeah.
Okay. So that one.
Hidden is probably the best one.
Okay.
There is one called that I said I didn't like, but if you want a view, called Avila Spaces Atrium Saldaña, which is in a shopping mall, kind of a shopping mall. It's not really a shopping mall. It's kind of like a food court / a few like businesses, you know, for locals. Mm-hmm. And they have this place which looks like a lounge, and they have some tables and whatnot, and it looks to the square and the avenue. So that's also like it's kind of a nice view. So if you want to try that try that one out, Avila Spaces Saldaña, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. It's also another idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard good things about Avila Spaces. I want to add also something quickly there, like the views. It depends where, like here, because I'm expecting a city, I actually like a view of people walking, you know? So just everybody.
Depends on what a view means to you,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Jeremy asks, Chiang Mai versus Lisbon for digital nomads. First of all, I'd say they're completely different. But one thing that they have in common would be cafes.
But they're still very different.
But the cafes so different. Like in Chiang Mai, it's crazy. There's a reel on my Instagram if you guys want to check it out, where I talk about like they got these stunning cafes with crazy coffees that look like cocktails or whatever, but the food is not amazing. Whereas here it's like you get standard coffee and the food is like, if you like your white girl brunch, it's everywhere here, right? And the food has just been the brunch here has been phenomenal for me. But the other thing with the cafes in Chiang Mai is like you can go to a cafe that's like giant and there's like hardly anyone there. So you're always going to get a space. It's not crowded like it is here. I haven't been turned down from so many places in my life, I don't think, before, like just because they're packed. And I went to this place with so many good reviews in Lagos, and When I got there, it was tiny. It was like five tables and like five two-seater tables. And I was just like, if you guys are so popular, you should like have more space, right? And that's the thing. Like these businesses, these cafes, they're tiny. And so like, I guess that's any good digital nomad destination to me would have like lots of available places to work from. And preferably nice places that are not office-like. But again, getting back to the problem of Lisbon, they're so busy. And will you actually get a seat at them if you don't get there at 9 a.m. in the morning?
It's so different. It's really hard to compare them. I mean, last time it was also like 5-6 years ago. It was just also before COVID. But you just said they hasn't changed that much. I'm talking about Chiang Mai. So, man, it's just a whole different life. But coffee itself, coffee like this. When people see my videos, they know that I love coffee. So Chiang Mai is like one of the spots that I just love to explore, and all these new type of coffee things they do. You don't find it here that much, yeah. And for example, we get a scooter in Chiang Mai. Here, like, it's not that common because I'm talking about because this place is just...
No, but it's very common. Like, you see all the time people going around. Yeah, even when it's like the inclinations and the, you know, the steep. Yeah, like all over the place. So it gets to the point sometimes it's kind of annoying because you have to be like careful because some guys go really fast.
And yeah, but it's not like the nomads get the scooters.
Ah, no, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think
in Chiang Mai, like most of them, 80% we get a scooter, you know?
Oh, and Chiang Mai is such a, there's hardly any hills. It's pretty flat. You drive around and it's like, I remember when I was driving in Chiang Mai, I felt like I was in a video game like Mario or whatever, because you've got these one-way streets that wind and it's so easy to drive and you're on your scooter with all this freedom. So, yeah.
And no place so far has been as cheap as Chiang Mai with the same quality.
Yes, you know, Chiang Mai so far, is by far the best value for money destination I've ever been to.
I have to go. I've never been there.
Yeah.
If you're going one day, I'm going
to
go.
Well, yeah, I'll let you know because I really want to make a video about there. I need to go back. I need to go back so bad.
We've been going for quite a while and we've pretty much like covered most of these questions. So I think we just talk about the Max Ravensky thing now. Yeah. So Sergio and I got the same question on when we put it out on Instagram asking for audience questions. What do you think about Max Ravensky thread on Twitter about Lisbon? And so just for you guys who haven't seen the tweet, I had to look it up. I had no idea who this Max Ravensky guy is, but it's a funny tweet because it reads as follows. And if you guys want to find this, how did I find this? I think I just typed in... Oh, I just typed in his username, Max Ravensky, and typed Lisbon after it, I think, and I found it. But you can find it on his Twitter account. To read the first tweet, it says, "Everyone in the digital nomad space is hyping up Lisbon lately. Nomad King Peter Levels set up a relocation service. Lisbon is the new agreed-upon best place ever. So I came to check it out. After 2 weeks... I'm out. Lisbon is, without exaggeration, the worst city I've ever been to."
And then I think he's exaggerating.
And then I'm like, yeah, it's like without exaggeration, but it sounds like exaggerating. He mustn't have been to many cities.
Yeah, it's like LA, Philadelphia, Lisbon.
Do you get where he's from?
No, nope. I think you're the US.
He's curiosity. I think probably the US. I don't know.
I think it says.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Ukrainian?
Are you trying to
what?
Think that all Americans are just whiny people?
I have no idea, and I don't think it's particularly relevant. Like, but I don't want to get into too many details about this guy specifically because I don't know him. But in terms of what he's saying about Lisbon, it's basically city planning that he's complaining about.
So read a few, because I haven't read it actually.
People will search for it because it's a long
thread. It's super long.
Just comment a few.
Okay, all right. Here's a few dot points. I mean, some of it, the city is allergic to open spaces. So he just says everything is way too dense. Buildings are crowding on each other. Sidewalks are designed to fit 1.5 humans.
Can I say one thing about that, for example, which I already told you before?
Yeah.
This city was built like it's like really, really, really old. I don't know how old, but it's probably over 1,000 years old. It used to be, I think, the capital before the Muslims took it over, like in 700 or something. So this city was big. It was the capital of Portugal. Then there was an earthquake in 1766 or something like that, which meant that the city was destroyed. It was like a tsunami and all of that shit. So then they rebuilt the city. But basically, the center of the city, which is probably where the guy was built on the standards of like 18th century. So like it makes sense that everything is crowded. It's not like New, you know, other places where like New York, like Barcelona, with the Eixample, which means the extension. You know, where they built everything from like in the late 19th century. No, it's like people didn't have cars. It was just like
So he's really got crowded. His streets are designed by someone who's never walked or seen them top down. This criticism I saw being tweeted at him, like it wasn't designed like yesterday.
It was designed 300 years ago.
But also,
that's really, really, really ignorant, because if he actually walked to like Santa Cruz, which is slightly to the north, I already told you, like kind of like in the center. If he walked to like, you know, Parque das Nações, which is like a bit more to the north here, Benfica, it's not like that. It's not as badly as he's saying, but he's like in the old town. It's obviously it's gonna be.
But let's speak on like the shit that matters. Like what is really true about this that people need to consider before they come to Lisbon. And like you mentioned with the heels, you know, people don't wear high heels here because virtually all it's crazy. Virtually all the streets are cobblestone. And like we were riding scooters, there's three different companies that do it, but the higher scooters, electric ones, we were hiring them. And for a lot of the path, you're driving on cobblestones. So you're like vibrating as you're driving, which is not comfortable, obviously. And then you've got like steep cliffs, and some of these like cobblestones are slippery too, especially probably when wet. So you can like slip if you're wearing like, so I recommend wearing good shoes. But I agree with what he's saying in a way, but I just don't think that it's such a huge deal. Like I wouldn't say.
I mean,
that
he may be right, but I think
the worst city I've been to based on this.
He's not considering the history of the city. It's like people who planned the city are like ignorant. Yeah, but I mean it was 300 years ago. That's why. I mean you cannot complain about that. It's kind of like it's like going to Manhattan and saying, oh, all of the skyscraper. Well, you're in the capital of skyscrapers. I mean,
Getting back to the practicalities for people coming.
First I just want to talk about the thread quickly. That I think it's an expectation. We don't know how long was he and all those things. And I just want to say that me as a traveler, that I travel a lot and I get to see a lot of the cities, there's not such a thing as a perfect city. Every place has its ups and downs. Chiang Mai is a beautiful place, but for a lot of people that they don't like quiet places, they're gonna find it boring, you know. So that's the same for Lisbon is great, but it has its downsides, and this is why this trade became all this very known, because he was touching some of the points that they were okay, but the way that he wrote them, they were like I don't like the way that he wrote it, but that's another topic.
I noticed, I think I just looked at your phone, and you've got a few questions. I wanted to kind of wrap this up in about an hour, but is there any in particular that we haven't covered that you really like would like to answer at the end of this podcast?
No, we got the same about the Max guy. How easy is it to make friends as a newcomer? I think that's a good one. We'll kind of cover it, that we have the community.
Will you talk a bit about that in your video?
Yeah, like how to make friends. Yeah, like because I'm gonna show the communities what to do, like how to. My videos is like how when you arrive there as a nomad, how do you get involved in the community there?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Sergio makes videos on digital nomad lifestyle, and you generally spend like a month in each place, and put like they're quite long videos where it goes into a lot of stuff.
Yeah, kind of like a documentary of each city, you know. And I wish I could stay longer, but life is short, so I need to
trying to create lots of content, you need to move around hard. A bit.
There's another question that I got, is like how overcrowded it is now compared to 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, you've had the experience of Well, you've both had the experience of being here 5
years
ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, it's kind of
I remember that, yeah, it was still tourists. It's always been a tourist place. You know,
no, it's been touristy for like the past 15, 20 years. At least a guy from Lisbon told me actually this. It's very new, like the popularity.
Since he was 10 years old.
I know. It's not like Madrid or Barcelona, which have been like popular for the past 50 years.
Yeah. There's it's another question that we didn't talk about, but kind of... It's not that obvious. People asking where is the best months to visit, and that's an interesting one.
No, from May till September, maybe October, or maybe mid April until mid October is probably the best time. After a while, it's kind of like
Problem is that's the exact time that most of people come here. Meaning that, what do you want? Do you want to be surrounded with so much people? Or how's the life when you were here in December, let's say?
I wasn't here in December, but in January.
Oh, well, January,
February, it was cold. I mean, not cold as in Berlin, because I know I checked, or like Milan, but...
Well, was it enjoyable? Were you like...
Sort of. Not too much, but again, it's not easy to answer because I was really busy with the moving, so I cannot really speak. It was cold. Mm-hmm. It was cold like in near Buenos Aires, where I'm from. It was cold like that. Like, you have to have like a jacket, maybe a scarf. Not super like freezing, but it was cold. Not too cloudy. We have the whole month, it was like sunny. Another month was kind of rainy. Honestly, I wouldn't come in that time of the year. I would come like from April. But also, it's weird because this year we went from having winter until like mid-April. We have like a week of spring, you know, 20 degrees, kind of sunny. And then we went to summer, like for 3 weeks. It's like 30 degrees every day. It was like sunny. It was like super hot. And then again, we have like a small, like right now, like a springy season, you know, like 20 degrees, 21, not too cold, not too hot. So it's kind of weird, to be honest. But again, I haven't been so long to really talk about from experience, you know?
Okay. Was there any other questions on your list?
I think we got them all on what we talk, so.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So I guess we can all go through. I thought we'd just end on our summaries. Why don't we go you first, Sergio, and then I'll wrap up at the end.
For me, as I said, this is my second time here. I spent 2 weeks the first time, it was 5 years ago. This time I'm going to spend a whole month, going to make a whole video. So you're going to need to see my video to see my shout out to that. But I think so far, I've only been 2 days, but I'm really looking forward for what's going to be. We walk already too much with the only 2 days, so it's going to be a lot of exercise. But I'm expecting to be a great place. I'm looking forward for all the coffee shops and the community, the cheap food prices of doing things around. So Lisbon seems to be a good place for nomads.
Okay.
Yeah, for me the same. I think I've been to a few cities, like as I said, Barcelona, Madrid, southern Spain, Las Palmas, Budapest, Prague, Berlin. I think from all of the cities in the order that I prefer is Lisbon, Barcelona, and Berlin. I think Barcelona is a bit over above Berlin simply because of the weather, but those three cities are probably the best to really go and enjoy. The rest, I can, like Paris, I wouldn't go simply because it's really expensive. As a nomad, I mean, you know, if I have the money, I would. But probably Lisbon is probably the best balanced in Europe. You know, from a lot of the things I mentioned already.
Okay, cool. And then for me, this is kind of like my taste test of Lisbon. I was thinking, you know, when I was making travel plans, should I extend my trip in Lisbon and do like, because I've been here traveling with a group of people, should I just, when they leave, continue on? I decided against it, and I decided like I'll have this taste test and I'll figure out whether it's somewhere, because I'm giving myself till about August to stay in Europe. So I was like, if this is a place I really like, I can come back. Would I come back? I think, yeah, definitely. Is it 100% like, oh my God, I have to come back to this place? My answer would be no. I think it's got a lot of, like it's got charm to it. There is like, obviously came here and was able to reconnect with you guys pretty easily. So it is a place that people go to, and as people that have been following me for a while know I'm the community aspect and being social is a big plus for me. And I feel like when I got to Lisbon after being in the Algarve, I was like, I don't understand the hype, but it started to grow on me. So I can only imagine what would happen if I stayed for weeks to a whole month. So I feel like, yeah, I could give this place a bit more of a chance, but it's not the kind of place I've fallen in love with straight away. It's probably going to be more a place that would grow on me if I was to love it eventually.
I want to add that we didn't talk about it. Just that wrapping up too, that some nomads, we travel a lot, but now we are trying to travel less and finding home bases. A few of the friends that I know, including now Ivan, they're setting their base here in Lisbon. So that's interesting. So we need to figure out why people are staying like for long term, not only a month. You know,
I was telling him that the good thing about Lisbon is that I don't have to go and visit my friends, because you know, you came, then Dustin the other day said that he wanted to come in August. Then some other people are coming, so it's like you just sit here on tight, you know, and people just come. That's the good thing about Lisbon. It's really, really, you know, practical.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, well, there's definitely something about Lisbon. I'd say that I'm probably going to title this podcast, Is the Hype Real? I think to a certain extent it is. I mean, it's not a definitive answer or whatever, but like it's definitely got something going for it. But I think the more popular it gets, the more crowded it gets, the less appealing it becomes. So maybe it's had its heyday, or maybe it's having its heyday now. But yeah, I feel like you take away the crowds, I think I'd be a lot more excited about Lisbon.
Last thing, we didn't talk about the food.
The food, it's great. Yeah, I mean, there's so much we could talk about.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Portuguese food, people are coming here for...
I was going to talk about the nightlife as well, but we didn't catch it as well.
Quickly, food is great so far. Like, we got fish. The fish.
If you like fish,
pastel de nata, like desserts. Yeah. They have good things.
Pizza is actually good. I found a lot of good pizza places.
And you did your nightlife Saturday, so.
Yeah, I found a bar that I liked, but in general, like, it's not the best. I haven't gone out much in Europe, but it's not the best nightlife in Europe for sure, right?
I don't know, but I've heard, I mean, there are so many people who come here for like, you know.
It's a smaller scene.
Yeah, that's for sure. There are a lot of people who come here with for Bakelord parties and stuff like that.
Oh, so it's a place. That's another con for me.
Yeah, I know. But there are a lot of bars and a lot of nightclubs next to the coast. All of them, all of the big ones, like the one you went to. So like, I haven't been to them, but I they're pretty popular. So I don't know. I think it's a good scene, maybe not the biggest one or the fanciest one, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, guys, if you do have any more questions, you guys that are listening, definitely comment on this if you're watching this on YouTube, or like maybe send me a DM or something. And I don't know if I'll record more content on Portugal, but I can always pass it on to Sergio, and he can use that for maybe answering some of those questions in his video. I'm sure you're gonna be featuring the food, right?
Yes. There will be a lot of food.
I'm assuming there's gonna be some pastel de nata in his videos. So yeah, basically just watch Sergio's channel. Let's wrap up with that. Like, let's shout. Like, do you have anything to shout out, Ivan? Like, you wanna shout out your Instagram or anything?
Nope.
Okay. So Sergio. Yeah, the people watching definitely probably want to check out your stuff.
Both YouTube and Instagram is my name, Sergio Sala, S-A-L-A. And I'm going to post the video at Lisbon. We're going to have an interview about his story on my YouTube
too. I forgot about that.
So you want to know what happened with his channel, we can talk more about that too. And just follow me and whatever you want, I'll be here too.
Awesome. And if you're not subscribed to this podcast, subscribe now. We are into the third season, which I never thought would happen, but here we are. So there's going to be more episodes, I think, this year and in 2022 for sure. This is what we talk about, digital nomad scene, what's destinations and anything else you want covered. So yeah, if you have any topic ideas, definitely drop them in the comments or whatever. And I'll see you in the next podcast.
Ciao.
You want to say goodbye, Ivan?
Goodbye.
See ya.